House Labor and Commerce now come to order. It's 3:12. With us today, in order of their arrival, are Berta Gardner, Gabrielle Ledoux, Bob Book, and myself, Chair Olson. We have one bill before us today. It's Senate Bill 141. And Mara's going to present it. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and fire away.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. For the record, my name is Mara Carlson Van Dort. I'm staff for Senator McGuire. And in the interest of the committee's time and the good chairman's time, I will be very brief. I'm here before you today to speak with you about Senate Bill 141, which is an act relating to limited liability companies. And this bill, in essence, will do two things. It will clarify statutory language that an organization providing professional services can organize its business using a limited liability company. The reason is for this is that there can be no speculation on the authority of the use of an LLC for professional services. And it's my understanding that this is, perhaps taking place already, and so this would just make that very, very clear in statute. In addition, this bill will delete AS 10.50.150 subsection D in order to allow a founder of an Alaskan LLC to be a co-manager without having all of the assets of the company included in the founder's gross estate for federal tax purposes. And that is what the bill does. So I would be happy to field any questions. And
Representative Ledoux.
I'm not sure about this co-manager thing. Where are you referring to exactly?
I believe that it addresses or will allow a founder of an Alaskan LLC to co-manage without having all of the assets in the company included. And I believe that we have Mr. Dave Schaftel, who is an attorney from Anchorage, who is very knowledgeable in Alaska trust and LLC law, and he can, I'm sure, answer that very well.
Would you like to toss that one up?
Yes.
Mr. Schaftel, are you online?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and through the chair and Representative Ledoux.
Could you identify yourself for the record, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. My name is Dave Schaftel. I'm an attorney in private practice in Anchorage, and I work almost exclusively in the tax and estate planning area, trust and estate area. I guess the best way to explain the Section 2, or really I guess it's Section 4 of the bill, is to go back a little bit. For federal estate tax purposes, often deal with Section 2036, and it has two subsections in it. Subsection A2 of that provision says that if a person forms a trust or a family limited partnership or a family LLC, limited liability company, and that person retains powers to affect the enjoyment of interests which that person has given away or sold, then all of those interests will be pulled back into that founder's estate and taxed at death. So you could get a situation where, let's say the chairman, Mr. Chairman, you form a family LLC. You have assets in it, and over your lifetime, you give away all of those interests to your children and grandchildren. Yet, you retain, let's say, a small interest yourself, or you continue to be the manager of that entity and have powers to determine when distributions would be made, or even the mere power to vote on liquidation of the entity. Any of those powers, arguably under 2036A2, and under a position the IRS has asserted in some cases and several opinions in the tax court, all of those assets then could be pulled back into your estate and taxed at your death. Now, the way to avoid this problem is for a founder, in our example here, Mr. Chairman, you'd form this limited liability company, but you would agree that there would be a special manager. And that special manager would have authority over distributions from the limited liability company to your children and grandchildren, and also would have the power to decide if that entity was ever going to be liquidated. And that special manager would be an independent person. Wouldn't be your family member, and it wouldn't be an employee of yours. If you do that, then you get around this problem of Section 2036A2, and those assets would not be included in your estate and taxed at death. Now, subsection D, the problem with that is we need, in order to make this effective, you could not have the ability vote on changing these special manager provisions. If you did, because 2036A2 doesn't say that you have to have control voting power. It just says if you can participate with any other person in determining this distribution or liquidation authority, that's enough. So we need to put in these agreements saying that once they're set up, that, Mr. Chairman, in our example, you wouldn't have the power to vote on eliminating this special manager provision. Now, unfortunately, subsection D in this limited liability company statute was enacted, of course, way back, I think it was 1994, well before any of the, even 2036 was even asserted by the Internal Revenue Service. In these kinds of situations, well before we had these couple of cases that have developed. And it has a provision here which says that you cannot get the bill in front of me. It says, for the purposes of subsection C, which deals with amending the Articles of Organization or the Operating Agreement, the required level of consent established by an operating agreement may not be less than a majority of the members. Well, you might have a situation where, in the example I've given you, let's say you had retained 51% interest in the entity and you'd given away 49% to your children. Well, in that situation, subsection D would prevent any changes to the articles or the operating agreement unless you participated. And so it creates the situation where you would have to participate, and then you would fall under 2036A2 and the problem that we have. So the suggested remedy is just to delete subsection D, which really doesn't serve any significant purpose, and otherwise then we avoid this problem that we have for estate planning. I'm sorry, it's a long-winded explanation, but
I think I get it. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
Representative Gardner.
Is it fair to say that this is part of establishing or clarifying a tax shelter?
No. I'm sorry. Through the chair, this is not a tax shelter, which is really an opprobrious type of term, a negative term. This is very legitimate estate planning. Family limited partnerships and family limited liability companies are very common. A classic example is, let's say you have some investment real estate or some stock market investments, and you and your spouse decide to put those into a family limited partnership and over the next 20, 30 years gift interests to your children and your grandchildren, which you can do, as you know, in $12,000 amounts, and that's tax-free. Or you can even give up to $1 million over your lifetime, and that without paying any gift tax. So it's a very common technique that's used. It's just the key part of it here is you have to be careful how much control you retain. If you retain too much control, then those interests will be pulled back into your estate and taxed at death. But good planning now will avoid people retaining too much control. And that's what the services is, the Internal Revenue Service seems to be worried about. It's people who give away things but then don't really give them away because they retain too much control over them.
Paula?
Thank you. To rephrase my question, I didn't mean anything negative about tax shelter. I meant it in the sense of planning distribution of a person's estate while they're alive in order to avoid taxes on it in after they go.
Through the chair, yes, that's absolutely right. That is one of the purposes. There are a number of purposes these family limited partnerships or family LLCs serve, including just as people grow older, often they want an adult child to manage their properties. So it's a very good vehicle for holding properties and have them managed, giving someone authority to manage them. It also, limited liability companies provide asset protection, both what we call inside and outside asset protection. And the statute was specifically designed to do that, so that if you have an accident on the property, you can't be personally sued, just like a corporation. And also, if, let's say, one of your children had a bad commercial event, that and there was a big judgment against them, well, that judgment creditor can get distributions out of the LLC. They cannot destroy the LLC and all the other members' interests to satisfy their judgment. Both of those are well established by the statutes and are in every state. So there are a variety of purposes that a limited liability serves, both for business purposes and for family investment purposes.
Thank you.
Do you have something to add?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I might just add that this is this bill is offered in the spirit of keeping Alaska's trust and estate, financial estate planning laws on the very, very competitive. There's a handful of other states that also have progressive trust and financial planning legislation, and this is going to keep Alaska competitive. It's going to keep these laws up to date, and which in turn will, you know, continue to bring business and revenue into the state. That is the spirit in which this bill is offered.
We've heard the other two legs of the stool.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
We did. Hmm? We had the two previous trust bills.
No, I was just saying, I don't have any more questions.
Oh, no. Representative Book.
Good to go.
Representative Gardner.
Good to go.
With that, is there anybody else online that would care to testify? Hearing none, we'll bring it into the room. Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony and bring it back to the committee. Representative Ledoux.
I'll move Senate Bill 141-25-SL-0809/A with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no opposition, we'll move it out of committee. And with that, we'll adjourn.
Thank you.